Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
Good. Morning.
Good.
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Good, good, good.
Yeah?
I'm excited today to have Bob Berg on. He is such a pro. He is wonderful. I'm really excited.
My goodness.
Looking forward to this.
Yeah, now, where did you connect with Bob Berg? What's your history with Bob?
Back in the 90s through National Speakers Association. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's just wonderful, wonderful. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, he when I mentioned your name, he said, absolutely, you are one of his favorite people of all time.
He's just so real, and he's so great. He's such a pro. He's such a pro, you know. There's so many people out there nowadays, and he's just the real deal. But,
yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And
yeah,
his
me
book,
too.
The Go-Giver, which is what we're going to be talking about, really just, again, in alignment with what you and I always talk about, which is, you know, giving back and adding value to people's lives, and that's what it's all about.
I've read it. It's a wonderful story, and wait till he tells you about it. It's just, it's really, really, it's very motivational, very real. It gives you something to think about. Yeah.
I have a feeling, I have a feeling this half hour with Bob's going to go by really, really fast.
Like
and,
all of them? This is even faster. Yes.
I am, this morning, I am actually broadcasting live from the beach walk in front of the Western Kaanapali Villas.
Oh, beautiful. I love that area.
And so there's, yeah, people walking by on the beach walk right now, watching the canoer folks out there and the bog trying to disappear. It's been hanging in there.
It's on Oahu, too. It is.
Yeah,
it is hanging in.
Kind of yucky.
That says Kona winds. Got to get some trade winds to come out, and then it blows it away.
It reminds me of, again, I grew up in L.A. It kind of reminds me, makes me homesick for La La Land.
Oh, no, it doesn't look like smog. You're thinking smog, bog, though, I think. Yeah. It reminds you, makes you think about it, right? Have your morning lattes and look at the smog. No, it's still on.
Yeah.
Can you see the other islands right now?
Actually, I can. I can see Lanai'i and I can see Molokai.
Oh, good.
Yesterday it was so bad that you could not see the islands, the other islands.
Oh my goodness!
So anyway, yeah, it's a beautiful day here on Maui, and just a beautiful day in the neighborhood all the way around. Again, excited about.
You sound like Mr. Rogers. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. it's a beautiful day. Am I dating myself? Because like, how long has it been? That's a long time ago.
Yeah. I love Mr. Rogers. And now, testing out some new equipment, as a matter of fact. So we'll see. I've got a new,
good.
New microphone.
Sounds really clear.
And cool. That's what I'm hoping, because the idea of being able to do this from wherever, and literally right now I'm broadcasting live from a beach, but to be able
it's
to do that.
It's not even sound windy. Well, you don't have any. We have the Kona winds. I was going to say I can't hear any wind or anything, but that was an understatement since you have Kona winds, I guess. And to anybody who doesn't know what Kona winds are, it's when it's really, really still. It comes in from the Big Island. It's very still compared to our windy trade winds. So, well, good. It sounds awesome. So our show today is, I'll let Randy tell it.
Yeah. It's want to buy a home with owner financing. Pretty intriguing title. I mean, I think if we can get other people to finance, right, that's and you can kind of keep the banks out of the picture, that's not necessarily a bad thing, is it?
No. Of course, each state has different rules and laws. So, you know, on how many properties a seller can own or finance before they get into the banking regulations, you know? So, and there's also different rules on money, whether it's owner-occupied or if they're investors versus investment. But no, just for the homeowner can do owner financing if they're doing one. Some of the states say over three, they have certain rules. So no, it's absolutely a wonderful way to get in today, especially for a lot of the people that have gone through short sales and maybe have credit issues, but credit issues that are explainable. So today we're going to actually focus, because there's both sides of the coin, right? You have the seller who wants to do owner financing with a property they own, then you have the buyer who wants to buy a property. So we're going to focus today more on if you're going to buy a property that's owner financed, just because our time goes by so fast, doesn't it? So
yeah.
We'll tie in both, and the best deal is to make it a win-win for both parties. But because today's focus is on if you want to buy a home, we'll stick to most of those topics. And if anybody would like to call in number 347-945-5428. Some tidbits we'll go over about it with owner financing is some do's and don'ts for owner financing,
okay,
and things to look out for so that you protect yourself if you're going to do it. It's because it's no different than you're still getting a loan from somebody. You're still working out an attractive way to buy the property, so you want to definitely protect your interests. And you know, the owner may not be under strict licensing certifications and different rules. I pray that they never change the law and disallow owner financing, because that could come down the pike one day, and that would be a shame, you know. But So we'll go over things like that and tips.
And then if you're listening to the archive edition of the show, you can always, of course, email us radio@realtyuniversal.com. That's radio@realtyuniversal.com, and the website realtyuniversal.com is chock full of all kinds of stuff, and you can check that out as well. If you want to listen and tune in and call in live, you can again at the number 347-945-5428.
Yeah, and we also have a lot of different shows that we have actually. We actually have different workshops and teleseminars or different products at times. If you want to get in and learn more, you know, there's so many books on so many subjects. So we just kind of try to give you the tidbits and things to look for so that you've got food for thought. And if you haven't ever tried it, to get into any of this. And so we try to keep it interesting that way. After being in the business for so many years, sometimes it seems boring to me. But, you know, and Randy, the second half is always so much more interesting to me. You know what I mean? Does that make sense, Kyle?
But I think you suffer from the same thing I suffer from. When you know something so well, you know, and it's just secondhand nature, I guess to some degree in time, you know, it could be, you know, repetitive and boring and whatnot.
Yeah.
But to those of us who every time you share these nuggets, you know, those of us who learn something, man, it's good stuff. And by the way, if you're on the archive right now, you're probably looking at our show page. And if, of course, you look down below on the show page, you can see just dozens and dozens of previous shows. So
yeah,
look at the titles,
cool, yeah.
And any of one of those kind of sparks your interest, check those out as well. And again, radio@realtyuniversal.com.
Right, and you can always sign up for newsletters to get on the list and get updates, et cetera, and be informed about different happenings with the business and the network. So it sounds really good. So I'm looking forward to coming back to it. And it's already 10 minutes into the show. I can't believe it almost, right? It just
flying
goes so
by
fast. And I guess we'll take a quick break and come right back.
We will be back.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you after consulting with the experts. We set you up to win.
When Marlon Shirley was 5 years old, he was in an accident and lost his foot, but he didn't lose his heart.
When you tackle a challenge that you just cannot even fathom tackling, when you accomplish that, the amount of integrity and the will and the heart that you'll get from that experience is what will set you up for your life.
In less time than it took Marlon Shirley to say that, he can now run 100 meters because today he's the world's fastest amputee. Overcoming. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
And we are back again, Realty Universal Radio, the name of the program, and whether you're listening live or archived, we welcome you back. The website again, realtyuniversal.com, and our contact information, the email, of course, radio@realtyuniversal.com, and the phone number, 347-945-5428. Randy Zachary, Natalie Mullinex, and we are talking about wanting to buy a home with owner financing, and how
yes.
do we do that?
And this is if you're the buyer doing it, because if you're the seller, there's a whole host of other things that you want to look out for when you're the seller. So since today's
okay.
focused on the buyer and we're limited on time, we're just going to get
yeah.
into that. And owner financing, basically that would be going directly to the owner, and they're going to offer you credit and terms to buy the property. So a couple of things that we want to point out when you're doing owner financing is you still want to protect yourself, and somebody may get very, very excited and overpay for a property. There could be situations where title work's not done properly, things like that. So you still want to totally protect yourself if you're going to do owner financing. So you definitely want to have your deposit money not held with the owner. You actually set it up and have it held with a title escrow company is what I would recommend. There's lots of attorneys that real estate attorneys that actually can help you as well. But I do recommend using a title company or an escrow company, and they will have their own attorney or attorneys in-house that work with everybody. I think that's better because they'll actually have an escrow fund set up for the money, for the deposit money, so that if you have any issues in the deal, if anything's not transacted properly, then your money's in a third-party account, not with the owner. So you want to make sure that you still do it as if you were going to go to a lender, and no lender is going to lend on a property without reviewing the title work and pulling up, you know, the prelims and finding out if there's any other liens in the property, if there's any lawsuits. They want to make sure that that property is going to you free and clear of any encumbrances or liens. So you still want to do the work. It may make sense to hire a real estate broker or an agent to do just a consulting package deal. I'm not trying to sell our stuff, but we have affiliates we work with around the country that there's a 1% deal that can work where that can help you. So you still want to cover yourself, you know, to make sure that everything's covered. You don't want to overpay. Now, what happens is sometimes you could overpay a little bit, but say a property's worth $300,000 and the owner, because he's doing owner financing, wants you to pay $320,000. That may work out okay. That may not be too high. But that's something you both have to agree on, but you want to make sure you know the true value. So if I were you, I would still want to pay for an actual appraisal, not a market analysis that's with an agent. I would want an appraisal from an appraiser. You know, you're going to pay about $400, $500, $600 max, depending on the property. I mean, you could be owner financing a single family home. You might be owner financing a four apartment house. You know, it depends on what you're buying. So the appraisal is going to be relative based on the cost is going to be based on what you're doing. But you just want to, I guess the P's and Q's we're talking about is to make sure you're covering yourself so that you're not getting in over your head because it seems so exciting if you're in a situation and you can't get a regular bank loan, mortgage loan, because of issues that are without out of your control. You know, if the short sales or possibly you're self-employed, or, you know, there's a lot of different scenarios right now which make it difficult for somebody to get a loan. So, you know, it can be very attractive. But these are recommendations we make. Okay, definitely the appraisal, do the title work. A seller might say to you, we don't need to do the title work. You know, I just bought it 2 years ago. Do the title work. It's worth it. And then you do have situations too. You would want the deed recorded. You would want the whole transaction recorded. There could be situations where the seller says they don't want to record it. Or land installment transactions where they want to have you pay a certain amount for so many years and not transfer title to you until you've paid in full. I don't recommend doing it that way without good protection, and the attorney with the title company can recommend and go in and explain how you can protect yourself, okay? Because there are some scenarios where people won't get the title in full until they've paid X amount of dollars. And that's not always a bad thing, but other things should be in line to protect you in that situation, you know, so that you're covered. And I personally would rather see it recorded. You also, you know, so these are different things we're going into. A lot of the people may want to do interest only. I would try to stay away from that. And then you'll see sometimes owner financing deals, we'll do it for 2 or 3 years, and then we're going to have a balloon payment. And what that means is, say they're selling you the property for $300,000, and you're putting so much down, you've worked out the payments, but they want it all due in 3 years. I don't think 3 years is long enough. You know, I would try to work with a seller that would give you 10 or 15 years. You know, 15, the longest is better. Some you'll see 5 years. Well, you have to really look at your financial plan and your life and what you're doing, because a lot may not change that much in 3 years to where you can actually go ahead and get a bank loan in 3 years. And then what if you can't and there's a balloon payment and they take the property back, right? So you want to really make sure you understand the documents you're signing and what you're agreeing to, because, you know, many sellers only want to do the financing for short term, and that's not going to, you know, that may not benefit you, right? So,
a question that I have real quick is, so you're getting somebody like an owner to finance. Is it still possible to have a realtor involved to walk you through?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can. That's what I was saying before, that you could just get them. Like, we have a 1% program. You could get somebody to walk you through. And either the owner or you are going to pay. Somebody's going to pay. It's going to come out of the proceeds, unless you just do a flat fee and you pay them. But, yeah, that could be negotiated too. But you definitely want some guidance. But at the very minimal, I would say title company or escrow company, as far as keeping everything in escrow and looking at your contracts, et cetera. That's really, really important.
So I hear you say 3 to 5 years.
It's not long enough.
So I was going to say, is that the downside of an owner financing? Is that instead of a 15 or 30 year loan, you're looking usually at a 3 to 5 year loan?
Well, it's just an average. It's what a lot of people may want to do. A lot of owners, you know, if somebody owns a property free and clear and they're charging enough interest, they may find that that's better than bank interest, and they're happy to do that right now, and it works for them to go longer periods. Many owners are doing owner financing because they're having trouble selling it, so they may want to go do owner financing just to get the monkey off their back, because it's, you know, somebody else's treasures. It's not somebody else's, because they have a different plan right now. So they may say, okay, I'm doing this because, but I don't want to do it forever, indefinitely. You know, it's better to call many, many sellers that are doing owner financing, and you can. And there's a lot of websites out right now. You have to kind of really dig through, though, to find it. You know, like seller finance, you can Google, you know, owner finance properties, seller finance properties.
But
you have to do it. It's a lot of going through a needle in a haystack, but you can take the time and go through and find it. But you know, there may be the one seller that can do it, and you have an ideal situation. Now, some people may be coming into a lot of cash or inheritance or certain things with trusts that they know they're absolutely getting in 3 years. That may be a different situation. Most people aren't in that position. Most people are, you know, working and may not have that set up, so that 3 years may not be long enough unless it's written to where they extend it. You know, and the other thing you want to make sure is make sure that that owner can own or finance it. We've talked about it before on our shows where we've talked about the due on sale clause. And,
yeah.
You know, and you can I think on our archives, right, they can you can type in a keyword, right, to go back and search.
Yeah.
So we did do a show on due on sale clause, which gives you some things to think about, too. You want to make sure that the owner can actually sell the property. A lot of loans have a due on sale clause and say they can't transfer that property unless it's been paid in full. So you don't want to get in a situation where you're working at a deal like that and then the bank wants their money back later and you've got to move, which, again, I mean, many things like that may not happen, but you want to make sure you're covered for anything and everything that could happen.
Yes.
You know, so that's another something else to look at, too, as well. Now, if a property is under a short sale and they want the lender to take less, that owner can't own or finance that property. That's going to have to be something through the bank. So, you know, you want to be careful of scammers out there that are just trying to take your money. So one way to avoid say you're, you know, meeting somebody on the internet or off the ads and it's an owner financed and they're saying, okay, give me $10,000 deposit, I'll owner finance it for you for 15 years and the price is so good and everything's just almost too good to be true and they'll do good interest rates. You know, okay, fine, we're going to have a contract drawn up. I've got an escrow title company. I've already researched. The money's going to go there. If the owner says, no, I want you to write the check out to me, that's a red flag. It doesn't mean they're up to no good, but it's something I would not do. So if you say, no, I really need to put it in a neutral place, and the title escrow company's bonded and insured, and, you know, I've checked them out. And if the owner really gives up, you know to walk away. You know, if it's something, if they're, you know, if it, some things, you know, there's a lot of little red flags you can see that'll cover you. But owner financing can actually be fantastic. Now, typically, though, you know, if the going rates are 4 or 5%, and you know, the owners, because they're doing this, they may want 6 or 7%, you know. And sometimes paying a little bit more in interest isn't going to be that bad for you if you can't get a regular bank loan, you know. So you would expect to pay possibly a little bit more in price, but just don't let it be astronomical. And a little bit higher interest rate, too, because, you know, it has to be advantageous for them to want to do it as well. And so it's pretty cool, but it's a lot of good things. And like I said, I pray they don't make it where you can't do owner financing one day, because I know they have strict rules. The SAFE Act was put out in 2008 that with lenders and credit unions and things, and there's different rules. And I know for years they've had, if investors are lending money, you see hard money being lent a lot. Say somebody's lending 12% interest rate, they'll say it has to be on an investment property, can't be owner-occupied, you know, or there's just different rules if you're doing a second versus a first, you know, under the investor rules, you know. So with you know, happy homeowner, and it's just the first time they've done it, or just one or two or something, I don't think you're going to run into that. It would be wise that to check in your state to see if there's any new regs that have changed. And a good way to do that is, you know, go to the escrow title company. Definitely with local real estate agents and brokers, you can ask them, work with them. Again, we have affiliates in 50 states. We can refer you to somebody if you want to go up on the site. But go to it. You know, actually, the title escrow companies can also check with their attorneys and double check. You know, so you just protect yourself. That's all. And oh my gosh, we're running out of time already, aren't we?
Yeah. So, let's take a break, and then when we come back, we'll just kind of recap a little bit. Kind of you laid out two or three points, and we'll kind of recap those for those who are just tuning in. And then, of course, Bob Berg joins us in the second half. Again, the number 347-945-5428. Radio at realtyuniversal.com, and we'll be back right after this.
She knows a hollow from a double up. She does snapbacks, backsides, shoots the curl. Bethany Hamilton knows everything about surfing. She just didn't know about the shark. But just months after the attack, and with only one arm, the 13-year-old surfs again. And now she's ripping it better than ever. So next time life puts a little fear in you, just think of Bethany Hamilton hanging 10 on top of a heavy wave. That's real courage. Pass it on.
From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our programs, we have developed real estate menu systems that are used by buyers, sellers, and agents and brokers who are part of our Realty Universal network, which is growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, buddy, Realty Universal Radio, the name of the program, and we are back. The number 347-945-5428. Once again, 347-945-5428. Email radio at realtyuniversal.com. Radio at realtyuniversal.com. Randy Zachary, my name, Natalie Mullenix with us, CEO and founder of Realty Universal. President, I should say. I guess you're CEO as well, right?
Yep.
You wear all the hats.
Yep. I guess you make all, I wear all the decision hats. That's the important part now. So.
Yeah.
No,
and
not that I get it.
And Bob Berg going to be joining us in just a moment. But let's just, while we're waiting for Bob, could we just recap? We're talking
yes.
about the previous half hour of buying a home with owner financing. What are maybe 3 points that people
this
need to really remember?
This is the buyer side. If you're the buyer, not the seller, because we need a whole other show to cover the seller side. You got to be careful
yeah.
about overpaying. Make sure you get a title or escrow company to hold the deposits, to cover everything to settlement or closing. Don't do it by yourselves. Make sure all the property, you've actually done a full title search on that property. And then don't overpay, and definitely get an appraisal, a real appraisal, not a market analysis, so that you know you're not overpaying. You may overpay a little bit, just like you may have to pay a little bit higher interest rates because you're getting the owner financing and you're possibly not able to get it through a bank at this time due to many reasons. So those are the biggies that you really want to just protect yourself and not, and then don't do it. Don't go for only a 3 or 5 year one unless you think you're really going to be able to change your circumstances and get a bank loan, because otherwise you're going to end up turning the property back.
Yikes.
So go with a longer balloon payment.
Yeah. Okay, so that's, again, on the buyer side. If you're a buyer interested in trying to find a home to buy with an owner financing, those are some things that you definitely need to be aware of. And again, Natalie Mullenix, first half hour of our show, always about real estate nuggets that help you. Second half of the show, about self-help, I guess you could say, motivation, inspiration, how to be, you know, everything that you want and need to be. We have a lot of entrepreneur types that are listening to the show. And very, very special guest today. My goodness, Bob Berg, sought-after speaker, corporate conventions and events, presidents, Olympic athletes, he's coached them, and for years, best known for the book Endless Referrals. Over the past few years, it's his business parable, The Go-Giver, that has captured the imagination of its readers, and it's just been it's sold tons of copies, and Bob is the dude, the man, the myth. And a good friend of Natalie Mullenix as well. Bob, welcome.
Hi. Were you about to say a legend in his own mind?
You are a legend. You
Natalie,
are a legend.
Natalie,
how are you?
I've been excited
about
you.
I was raving about you already, Bob. So.
Even what?
Yeah.
I was really raving. But it's all true. You're the real deal. So I'm so glad you could come on today.
Well, thank you. It's great to catch up with one of my oldest and dear, not oldest, but I mean longest time and dearest friend. Youngest and dearest friend.
He always has the best way with
words. Got myself
in
trouble right after that. And Randy, hi, and it's great to have you. Who else do we have? Is it Natalie and Randy, or is there somebody else?
Oh, it's just us. It's just us. And you're
okay,
the main. You're the main one today.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We the first half of our show is real estate, and then the second half is spiritual, motivational, and so we just finished the first half.
Oh, good. Hopefully
yes,
you'll have someone good on for the second half. I'll be listening. Oh, wait, that's me. I'm sorry.
You're amazing.
Oh, man. You know, Bob, the book, The Go-Giver, it's so in line with what Natalie and I talk about, which is giving back about, I know John Maxwell talks about adding value and the idea of being other-oriented. And as you do that, things tend to work out. It does kind of seem to contradict traditional wisdom, though, isn't it? I mean, we've kind of got this narcissistic, me-addicted society. Talk about the premise of The Go-Giver for folks that might not be familiar with it.
Well, the premise itself is simply that shifting one's focus from getting to giving. And when we say giving in this context, we mean constantly and consistently providing value to others. And that not only is it a nice way to live life, it's also a very financially profitable way as well.
I read the book, Bob, too. I read it. It was wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
We've seen that and heard that from folks like Oprah and you name it, right? Folks that just can't seem to outgive the universe kind of idea. It's just a rule. It's a law, isn't it?
Well, yes, in a free market, and not that we really operate in a free market anymore today. In fact, in the last 100 years, it's kind of gone less and less. But it's still free market based in most industries. And to the degree that we operate in a free market, it's all about providing value to others. That is the best way if you want to make money. Because remember, when nobody is forced to buy from you, they're only going to buy from you because they feel you have value to offer them. In real estate, for example, let's say you're wanting to list a home, and it's whatever the percentage is that the fee would be. That person's going to have to feel that the investment in that is worth in that whatever percent it is worth more than the money that they're going to be paying. And it is, because it's not only that the realtor can sell their home faster, they can do it quicker, they can do it with more ease, they can do it with less hassle, but there's also all the psychological reasons as well. And so if they did not feel that was the case, they wouldn't give the listing. They would try and sell it themselves. So, if you're selling a widget, if you're selling accounting services, and you charge $1,000 to do someone's taxes, that's fine, providing that you're going to give them more than $1,000 worth of value. How do you do that? Well, you save them more than $1,000 in taxes. You provide them with the security and peace of mind. So we're not talking about anything, woo-woo, la-la, or anything like that. This is very practical in terms of, the more free the society is, the more this works out to shift your focus to pleasing others.
Wow. Adding value, again, being other-oriented, it's powerful. Now, in the book, the main character, Joe, frustrated, is frustrated. He's described as a go-getter, and I thought this was a good thing. I mean, are you saying being a go-getter is a bad thing?
Oh, that's a great question, Randy. Here's the thing. We love go-getters. Okay, go-getters are terrific because they take action. They get things done. And, you're a successful businessman. Natalie's a successful businesswoman. And we all know, and everybody listening to this call knows, that you can have the best ideas in the world. You can have the best intention. But unless action is put into the mix, nothing's going to happen. So being a go-getter is a terrific thing. Now, fortunately, there is no natural division between a go-getter and a go-giver. Many go-getters are also go-givers, and every go-giver is also a go-getter. The opposite of a go-giver, then, is not a go-getter. The opposite of a go-giver is a go-taker. And that's,
okay, that makes sense.
That's the person who, you know, kind of feels entitled to take without adding value to the person, to the process, to the situation. And let's face it, we all know people like this, and they can be nice people, but they tend to be very frustrated that they rarely achieve the kind of success they feel they deserve. And even when they do, it tends to be somewhat short-lived. Now, in the story, Joe was described as a frustrated go-getter, but it's not because he was a go-getter. It's because he was also a go-taker. And that kept tripping him up. If you remember early in the story, it was all about Joe and who owed Joe and everything was, you know. And as he met his mentors and he began to shift his focus from an I focus to an other focus, all of a sudden things began to change. And that's what so many people find, that once they do that, once they take their eyes off of themselves and their focus becomes providing value to others, things change, and they change very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. Bob Berg joins us again, berg.com, and Bob is the author of many books. We're talking today about the go-giver, and I'm excited about the getting into this next question, because really the book talks about five laws of stratospheric success. I love that. Stratospheric, meaning, yeah, buddy, I mean awesome success. And talk about the laws. Law number one is the law of value. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, this one says, the law of value says your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Now, this kind of sounds counterproductive, really, when you think of it. It sounds like you're talking about not making a profit, but that's not what it is at all.
No.
It's just understanding the difference between price and value. You know, price is a dollar figure. It's a dollar amount. It's finite. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Value, on the other hand, is the relative worth or desirability of a thing to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, listing, idea, opportunity, what have you, that brings with it so much worth that someone will exchange their money for it and be ecstatic that they did while, you know, you make a profit? And we talk about a restaurant in the story, and this restaurant serves a great meal. What's the value they're providing? Great food, the ambiance, the incredible customer service, the way they make that person feel. They give great food, great service, great experience. And so the person who maybe, you know, spent $100 on the meal comes away feeling, you know, like $1,000. I mean, they come away feeling great. I mean, they had a wonderful experience, and the restaurant made a very healthy profit. And, you know, when you list a home and you make a certain profit, which you should make a very good profit for the hard work you did and the value you provided, that person feels great about the transaction. The realtor comes away feeling tremendous. And that's, you know, again, I go back to a free market exchange. And by its very nature, both sides come away better off than they did before. And there's one principle to realize when we talk about this, and that's simply that money is an echo of value. It's the thunder to value's lightning, which simply means that the value comes first, and the money you receive is simply a natural and direct result of the exceptional value you've provided.
I love that. The echo of value.
Yeah.
People remember the shift change. I see one of the – I've got your book right here, and it was wonderful. And it says the go-giver – this is what Pat Williams said about that, author of Souls of Steel. So the go-giver is the best business parable since the greatest salesman in the world and the one-minute manager. And I agree. The stories – how did you guys come up – the stories are wonderful. It just got you so immersed in the story. And how did you guys come up with wanting to do this one?
Well, I had the privilege of working with John David Mann, who is a fantastic storyteller. And so, Natalie, you knew I had the book out years ago, Endless Referrals.
Right.
And I had wanted to kind of build a parable around that premise, that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. So I came up with the title and the idea of the go-giver in a very, very sketchy kind of character type of thing, and it you know, I began to write it myself. It took me all of about 30 seconds to realize there's a huge difference between writing a how-to book, which really anybody can write. You just write down what you know, and writing a fictional story. And so I knew it was beyond my scope, and I really wasn't going to be able to do justice to what I thought could be a great story. So I asked John Mann if he would be the lead writer and storyteller. I knew John because he was the editor-in-chief of a magazine I used to write for, and he's such a brilliant and talented writer. That once John came into the mix and really, you know, put his brilliance to work, that's what really shaped the story.
I love it.
Wow. Well, Bob Berg is our guest again. The website, berg.com. And Bob, I got to let you know, because I think an airplane's flying over. I'm broadcasting live right now, literally from Maui. I'm on the beach walk in front of the Western Kaanapali.
Wow.
So I'm sitting here looking out at the ocean and the canoes and absorbing all that that you have to say. And then just now it looks like an airplane flew over, but I think we're good to go here. I really, if we could, but there's so much, and I knew this would fly by, but other laws in the book, the law of compensation. Talk about that one.
Yeah, well, the law of compensation says that your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. So, you know, it's one thing for the realtor to serve, you know, one person and do really well and make a nice commission. But if this realtor wants to really earn a lot of income for the year, they're going to have to list more than one home. I mean, unless that home is just, you know, way out there, outrageous. But by and large, you know, you're going to make more money based on how many people's lives you touch with the exceptional value you provide. Which is why Nicole in the story told Joe that law number one, the law of value, as important as that is, that represents only your potential income. Your actual income is represented by the impact you make by how many people's lives you touch with that exceptional value.
It's wonderful, isn't it? You have to give them why you're doing everything and how it's going to benefit them rather than the detailed and the story. I remember there was parts of it also that got the people in the company very involved, and they were able to be so creative, just the way it was set up. I'm trying to think of which part
that was.
I read it a while ago.
That was Nicole Martin's part, and that was a great memory. Yeah, that was Nicole Martin's part, and she's the one who was the teacher who was very frustrated. She was a school teacher, frustrated because she loved what she did, loved the value she provided to the kids, but just didn't have enough reach to make her – plus she was kind of – kept in by the bureaucracy and so forth. And so she went out on her own. She expanded her reach and leveraged her influence and was able to touch a lot more lives and, of course, earn a lot more money from doing so.
Wow. Mm.
Wow. And, Bob, that just as you've described that, I mean, I've been in radio for 35 years, different formats, you know, Christian music format, whatnot, and just felt increasingly kind of just like her, you know, kind of hit in and frustrated and limited in my reach. And Natalie and I have been in touch over the years, and we began talking about doing this radio show, and I really, literally, I think I've arrived at my intersection of my passion and purpose, which is to use radio to promote change agents, people who are really making a difference. And I've been doing that more and more, and Natalie's an example. This radio show is an example of what you're talking about, of us wanting to, you know, expand our influence and using our giftings. And hers is, you know, real estate and her passion there, and mine with radio. And so we've kind of combined this and, bringing value. I mean, I hear and see so many, you know, the people like you and the John Maxwell team and folks that are making a difference, and this message needs to get out, because I think people need hope, and in this economy, I think people absolutely need all of these laws that we've been talking about in your book, and this premise that giving is, giving is, when you give, you do get.
Yeah,
that is your motivation.
Well, you sure do. And, of course, John Maxwell, who you mentioned, who's a real hero of mine, and they have a great they're a great coaching program. And you know, John talks a lot about influence. And one of the, you know, leadership is influence. And really, one of the ways you touch people's lives is, you know, to influence them. And the more people you influence, the more value you can add to people's lives. And so, you know, it's really kind of a neat thing. It all goes back to focus. And, you know, once you do that and once you've got your focus on in the right direction, just, you know, great things are going to happen. Again, not for way out there reasons or anything, but for very, very practical reasons. The person who can take their eyes off themselves and focus on providing value to others is planting lots of seeds of goodwill in the marketplace. And
division.
Some of them,
absolutely,
you know, some of them take root right away, and others take a little while, and others, you know, what have you. But as you do it continually, wow, you know, you're just attracting so much of the same into your life, and it becomes, you know, your business becomes a lot more fun, a lot less stressful, and certainly a lot more profitable.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And the Go-Giver, I'm just so, it's so much in this book. It's, what, 132 pages. I recommend anybody listening or listening to the archives later to definitely read this book. It will definitely make a change in how you look at this. It's just wonderful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
Really does.
Bob Berg, our guest. Again, a website, that's the best place to go, right, Bob? If folks want to know more about you, berg.com?
Yeah, and it's B-U-R-G.com, spelled a little bit differently than usual,
okay.
But B-U-R-G.com. And while they're there, they can download the intro and chapter one of that book, as well as The Go-Givers Sell More and Endless Referrals, and they can see if they like it, and if they do, then they can, you know, click through or go to their local bookseller or what have you.
Wow. I'd love to get through the next two laws really quick and cover at least get the five laws of stratospheric success.
Sure.
We've cranked through the law of value and compensation and influence. Talk about the law. I love this one, the law of authenticity.
Sure. And this one, the hero of this chapter featured a realtor.
We did too much of that already today. No, because we were on 30 minutes before. Go ahead, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
This one, the law of authenticity, simply says the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. And in this, you know, for this law, the mentor, Deborah Davenport, had learned a very important lesson, and that is simply that all the skills in the world, the sales skills, technical skills, people skills, as important as they are, and they are very, very important, they're all for naught if you don't come at it from your true authentic core. When you do, people really feel good about you. They're attracted to you. They feel good about you. They know you. They like you. They trust you. They feel safe with you. But when you don't, when instead you act not as your true self, but as a, I guess the correct Latin term would be phonus balonus, then what happens is people don't feel as good about you. They don't feel as comfortable with you. And here's the thing. A lot of times the reason somebody is not really themselves operating from that core of authenticity is not because they want to be phony. I mean, there are some, but not most. But it's because they don't really have a grasp of their own value, just like Deborah in the story, who kind of figured it out near the end by accident, just as she was about to go out of business. And that's why it's important to have coaches such as yourselves who can really work with someone and provide, you know, that kind of insight, because sometimes we're too close to the situation where we might have a skill set that is very natural, or we've put in that 10,000 hours of practice that's talked about, and it may be so natural to us now that we don't even see it as being of extraordinary value, so we don't tap into that and bring that to the marketplace.
Randy and I talk about that all the time, because he's been in 35 years in industry and I've been in 27, and we just take for granted what we know or how we do things.
Oh, there's things both of you know that others just have no clue, but you don't even know that, because to you it's so natural that I bet there's plenty of times one of you will point something out that the other said or did, and the other person will say, oh, everybody knows that.
Exactly. Constantly, yeah. No, really, really, absolutely. And, you know, with Randy and I, we've always talked for years. I always used to say, why can't it be just self-help? Why is it real estate? Why real estate? And then it's like I got the answer about 12 years ago, and it was like real estate's the vehicle
right,
that helps me to help people in their lives. Yes, and it's not about selling houses, or I would have quit a long time ago, and I don't mean that in a negative way. You know, it's more about, you know, so, and you are awesome. You're just always been so, so positive and so great and so right on, so professional and so everything. You just got it all.
You're sweet. Thank you.
You're the man. Okay, so law of authenticity, and I love that, because you're right. I think people, when people sense that you're connecting on that authentic level, you do connect with someone, and whether it's business or just helping them, there is that real connection. The fifth law, the law of receptivity. Talk about that.
Yeah, this one simply says that the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. And you might recall late in the story, Pindar, the main mentor, asked his protege, Joe, to breathe out and hold that breath to the count of 30. Joe tried, but he couldn't do it. And in about 10 seconds, he was struggling for breath, gasping for air. And Pindar said, "What's the matter? Joe can't do it." And Joe said, "No, I can't just breathe out. I've got to breathe in." And Pindar jokingly said, "Well, Joe, what if I was to tell you that it's been medically proven that it's actually healthier to breathe out than it is to breathe in?" And Joe said, "Well, that's silly. You can't do one or the other. You've got to do both." Well, exactly. You've got to do both. You breathe out, you breathe
metaphor.
In. Right, you know, you give, you receive. And giving and receiving are really simply two sides of the very same coin. It's not an either-or, it's an and. Now, the key is to focus on the giving. And when you focus on the giving of value, that starts in motion those things that you need in order to receive. But once it's coming to you, we've also got to be willing to receive. See, all the giving of value in the world is, as great as it is, it's all for naught if you're not willing to allow yourself and make yourself available to receive in like measure. And when people don't do that, people who provide such wonderful value to the marketplace, who seem to always have challenges with their finance, it's typically a result of an unhealthy relationship with money, which is tough enough, except for it's typically on an unconscious level. So you don't even know that's the reason. So that's very important.
Okay.
But what
about the receiving, though? People, when they can't receive, they can give, but it's hard to receive. Does that block everything?
In what?
That blocks it. Not money,
it does.
But I mean, when you're, Yeah.
It does. And so the first thing that I suggest to people, and, you know, John and I have been honored by people writing in and saying that chapter, which a lot of them said that chapter we had to read three or four times, that's only like three or four pages, but that they had to go over it several times, is because that was their toughest challenge. But we've had people say that chapter allowed them to begin receiving. That before then, they were good with the other part. One person emailed John and said, "John, the first four laws, I could wrap my hands around like it was polished wood. The fifth law, that one gave me splinters."
Right.
Receiving can be a tough thing for people because of sorts of messages that we get about lack and about money being bad and evil and rich people being this and that, which is so much nonsense because
that's
money
true.
Is simply an extension of what you already are. So,
that's a great energy. It is, absolutely. And it's nice to be able to do things with the money that you couldn't do if you don't
make
the money. You know, if you look
at
that and giving and helping, it's just so much more you can
do. Of course.
But the receiving, sometimes receiving gifts or receiving compliments, I can be one to say that over the years it's, kind of like not giving ourselves credit where credit is due. Does that make sense? Kind of thing, I don't know where that comes from, but that's definitely something I can relate to.
I think a lot of it's societal, and it's the type of thing where I had to learn, you know, myself, that when people complimented me to say thank you. You know, as opposed to trying to slough it off and so forth. And I think when people ask, well, how do I begin to be a receiver? I think it starts with those little things. I think when someone compliments you, it's saying thank you rather than, you know, trying to deny the compliment. Doesn't mean you have to be arrogant about it, but we can still say thank you. It means that when someone, you know, offers to pick up your meal, pick up the check, sometimes just say thank you. Let them do it. Give them the
I can try that. No.
I'm doing it. So,
thank you.
But when I always pick up the check, everyone says okay.
I know. I find that. They don't seem to have that challenge.
You're right. You're so right. And these are things that, you know, we're all older now, I should say. It's okay to say that, right? I'm the woman, so I'd be the one who would mind right now, but I don't mind. But, I mean, it really is. It's amazing when you finally go, wow, it's that easy to do that, and it's sincere. But I had a tough time doing it for years. I'm still probably not great about it, but, you know, or women, you know. But that's really, I mean, as far as taking a compliment for what it really is, you know. And that's really neat. And
receiving.
I wish we could get these things into, like, grade school. Don't you think? Like, there's so much that you have to learn in life.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if it was actually in the schools at, elementary age?
Yeah, we actually have a person who is an educator out in at Wheeler High in Valparaiso, Indiana, who uses they get the books for their seniors and they do a study on it, and he's written a curriculum for us.
Wow.
Yeah, and so our next step, once we have it what we call manified, and that's when John Mann goes over it and cleans it all up and makes it, you know, we do hope to be selling those into the school systems.
Oh,
so we'll
please let me know. please let me know, because it's so needed. And it would be great, though, if one could be done for even the elementary
Absolutely.
Age, you know,
yeah.
because I think there's so much on finances or mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. receiving, on different issues that just aren't covered when they're going into the basics. You know,
I totally agree. Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Awesome.
Bob Berg with us again, just BURG.com, the website. And I knew this half hour would fly by. And you can, of course, check out his website, all kinds of things, download. The first section of a couple of the books, right, Bob, did you say?
Yeah, Endless Referrals, The Go-Giver, Go-Giver Sell More. I think maybe one other, I'm not sure. But, yeah, the first either chapter or two chapters.
Oh, you know what? I made a note here I wanted to ask you about, and I know we've got about 2 minutes, 2-3 minutes. The law of left field. What? Talk about the law of left field.
Well, this one just says that this is actually part of law number 5. It's sort of a mini law or sub law as part of the greater law of receptivity. It simply says that the greatest gifts will come to you at the most unexpected times and places. And it's basically just when when you're living your life and conducting business according to these laws, great value showers down upon us from that sort of unnoticed or unseen place, whether it's you find a great lead or a terrific mm-hmm. referral, a crucial connection that results in a new, customer or client or something. But what happens is it might be from somebody you didn't expect it to be from. So when we can, when we focus on providing value to people, it comes back to us and many times worth more than what we even might feel we're owed.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, I call it the planting the seeds. You don't know. They sprout. They come back later in so many different ways,
Exactly. And the reason it happens really is because everything you've done is you've created benevolent environment, a benevolent context for your success. And that's why these surprises can happen. You could probably go back to everything. There's nothing magic about it. You could probably go. You just can't know where your influence is spread because you've just put that out there.
I always say it's God, not me. I say it's God, not me, only because on the spiritual side, I really believe the spirit,
sure.
Like we're given. And when it's coming from love and giving for the right reasons, it's kind of like, and you're not looking for anything back because of it. Now, it's different, of course, when you charge accordingly for consulting and because you're charging a fee for what you're doing, and that's proper. That's something we should all do. But, but it's different but you're not expecting something in return, unnecessarily, so to speak. And it just is like putting a seed out there.
No, I call it not being attached. In other words, you give value to the marketplace.
Yes.
You do it without attachment. I mean, I always say, I always expect good things to happen. And if they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. But I try to do it without attachment to it having to happen.
Perfect. Exactly.
Detached from the outcome kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Bob, you know what? This goes by so fast that we did not even take one commercial break with you because you're just too exciting. And we didn't want to think. We're just like, seriously, we take a break like every 7-8 minutes. But it's so fast. It goes by so fast. So
flies by. Bob Berg, again, joining us. Check out his website, BURG.com. And yeah, I spent quite a bit of time on the website last week. And
thank you.
It's like AMP and Mini Mart, man. There's too much good stuff going on.
You have to bookmark it and keep going back,
Yeah, and the idea of the Go-Giver, get that book because, again, the idea of adding value and that being the – I think we all have had transactions in the marketplace, whatever marketplace that is, where it was just a transaction and the difference between that and connecting with a Go-Giver like Natalie or like Bob. There's a big difference. We know it.
And you got to read this. But it's only, I read it. Gosh, Bob, how long has it been? When did it first come out? I read it a while back.
Yeah, about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, and it's a quick read, 132 pages. I mean, you can read it pretty fast. And it's a quick read, but it gives you, it's how to explain it. And I'm not, you would be able to explain this better.
No, I love what you're doing. I love the feeling
it's
you're
a quick read. It's a quick read, but it gives you a novel effect, if that makes sense. Because it's written so beautifully, and so it actually moves you. And it's just amazing. And everybody nowadays has attention deficit disorder, right? Well, we all do. I mean, for all the stuff. And this is something you'll get through, and it's empowering, very empowering. So.
Well, thank you. That means
Glad,
a lot to
thank
me.
you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on with us today. We so appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. I appreciate both of you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it again. Bob Berg, Berg, BURG.com. Get there, get the go-giver, become a go-giver, and let's change the world one transaction at a time, really, one person at a time. Thanks again, Bob.
My pleasure. Thank you.
See you later.
Wow. Natalie, we have 1 minute.
Oh, I know, I know. He's just wonderful, isn't he? We couldn't even. It's wonderful. See, the first part, the first half, the real estate part seems so boring to me. I guess it's because I need coaching, or it's just a. It's just I've been in it so long. That's why it seems boring for the first part. You know.
Yeah, no, but I'm telling you, you deliver the nuggets, and I think we all learn from those. We absolutely all learn from those.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
I hope everybody reads The Go-Giver and gets on Bob's site, because it's just there's so much, so motivational and so wonderful and such good lessons, actually, and his endless referrals and his other books, because he's so positive, always so positive and so uplifting. And, you know, lots of times we don't realize how we're projecting to people or what we're saying, and then maybe we may think that the other person's in a bad mood, but it's just the way we said it. We kind of turned off the conversation, right? And you know, there's a lot of good things to learn to be able to, you know, it's fun to be able to communicate with people. Communication's a big deal, isn't it? And it's fun to be able to communicate effectively and give back. And we're almost finished, so I hope everybody got to listen. Anybody listen to the archives comes back, and we look forward to next week. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.